raining, and the next day, what did we do the next day? We loitered. It was cold, yeah. Anyways, that's all right. Do you know what I noticed about Mexico? Has anyone been to Mexico? The men all have great hair. All the guys gel their hair, and it's just like, that's why I did mine, partly because, yeah, in honor of the Mexicans. But the guys have better hair than the girls do. It's true. That's just my theory, anyways. So we're talking about loving our city. Did you get to see the video last week? Did you show that last week? So if you haven't seen our little overview video on our website, if you go to the website and then on one of the banners that says Love Our City, click on there and you can see a quick little overview. And I am very, very excited about the opportunities that God is like just thrown at our way. And the first big one that we're getting ready to do is in February. Did you talk about that last week, Andrew? Real brief. Okay, so just real quick. Last 2 years, on Family Day, which is February 21 this year, we have taken out all the seats at the airport campus and rented blow-up bouncy castles for kids, bungee stuff, bull riding thing, face painting, and we've had like 300 kids and parents show up for a Family Day event. It has been great. It's been fun. We've had like 75 non-Christians show up and 30 people on average get saved, which is cool, isn't it? For people to connect with Jesus. That's what it's about. Well, this year, actually last year sometime, Sam Duncan suggested that maybe instead of us doing all that work, because our staff hate it, especially our maintenance staff, because they got to come in on a holiday and they don't get the holiday and all that kind of stuff. So Sam suggested maybe there's another group that's doing something that we can just join. And at the International Center by the airport on Airport Road, there last year was a first time group that had 20,000 people show up. It was called Kids Fest. And they didn't have enough money to do all the different things. And we found out, and we have signed our organization, Catch the Fire, has signed to be the title sponsors of their event this year. It cost us 10 grand. Last year, we spent 8 grand to do our own event for 300 people, and it was great. So it's basically we spent $300 or $400 per person who got saved. That's okay. We should put a sign outside, $50 if you attend church, $100 if you give your life to Jesus. That kind of thing. Anyways, this year, they're expecting to have 30 to 40,000 people show up. And for our 10 grand, the event on all the promotion this year is going to be called Love Our City Kids Fest. In fact, they have asked if they could use our name on a parenting, what would you call it? Like, conference. Like when you go to the International Center and they have all these booths and stuff, they're doing one on parenting. And they're calling it, because it's the same group, they're calling it Love Our City Parenting Fair or something like that. And we're not even involved in that one. So for 10 grand, here's what we get. We get to run all the games. The same volunteers that ran ours get to run their games. And so everyone's going to be wearing our Love Our City t-shirts, and we're going to have all this interaction. We are going to be given 40 exhibit spots free. And in our exhibits, we're planning to give a few away to other different groups like the Heart and Stroke Foundation. We're planning to give one to the Blue Jays. I'll tell you about the Blue Jays promotion just in a moment. And there's a staging area where like every, probably 3 times an hour, there's like a 10-minute show that's free for everyone to watch, like a comedian, a balloon person, a ventriloquist, something to do with kids. And we offered that we would provide all the entertainers for that stage. They said, well, you can't do anything Christian. We go, we don't need to do anything Christian. And so like, some of you remember Anthony McLean, who used to be our youth pastor way back. Well, he speaks professionally at high schools and schools all over Toronto on bullying. So we can put him on the stage for 10 minutes. He doesn't have to say anything about Jesus. What he does need to say is at the end of his 10-minute little talk, if you'd like to learn more, I'm going to be at the Love Our City exhibit. You can come and talk to me. As soon as he steps into our area, fair game. We're on. We have two professional clowns in our church. Like, this is what they do. One of the guys is a professional Santa Claus, like every year. That's what he does. And he does amazing evangelism. So he's going to do his blow up balloons, and he wears his goofy, you know, red nose and all that kind of stuff. And he does 10 minutes. And then he says, kids, if you'd like to see more, I'm going to be over at the Love Our City exhibit for the next half hour. All the kids are coming. And when the kids show up, he does his stuff and he talks about Jesus to them. And the parents all get to have prophetic words, dream interpretation, healing prayer. At the same time as kids are being entertained, we have all this stuff going on, all this ministry kind of stuff. We're going to have a booth for our kids' camp and our youth camp and all that kind of stuff. We are just going to blow away this place. Not only that, but because we're the title sponsors, we get a free party just to ourselves with everything free. Because it's free admission to the event, but kids pay $2 for a ride. Adults go free on the rides. But we get a free party, for a three-hour free party that we're probably going to do on the Saturday night, that we can invite 1,500 people free. So we get to have all of our 300 from last year show up to do the very same thing that we'd normally do, probably on a Saturday night, and we're planning to invite everyone on the list of Social Services Toronto that lives in Etobicoke to come free. Isn't that amazing? So all these folks that live in that area by the airport in Toronto, Mississauga, and Peel, just happens that we have the director of communications for all of social services just happens to come to our church. The guy from Thistletown in that area who runs social services in that area just happens to come to our church. Like, God's just absolutely set us up. And so at that event, everything's free. We can do all the dream stuff, the prophetic word stuff. The clowns can actually talk about Jesus. We can do all of that kind of stuff. And we're planning to bring in a professional entertainer, like ventriloquist guy that we've had before, who's amazing. And what he's going to do, he's going to do like a 15, 20-minute shtick kind of thing. And then he's going to say, I'm going to be at the airport church tomorrow morning at 10:30. And for all of you who live in Etobicoke, it's just right around the corner from where you are. Why don't you come to the airport campus and see me do an hour shtick? And I'm expecting, instead of 30 people saved, that we may have 400 or 500 people saved, and cost us $2,000 more. Cha-ching. So we're doing all of this not under the name of our church, but under a charity that we've set up called, we set up an organization called Love Our City. And that is based on a verse in the Bible. Why am I not clicking? Click, 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 click. I'm not clicking. You know what I'm doing? I'm doing nothing.
You can just put it up here, Steve.
Shall I just move it up here? Okay. So if you have your Bible, turn to Jeremiah chapter 29. If you don't have your Bible, I'm going to have the verse on the screen. Bring your Bible next week, yeah. Always travel with your weapon. Did you know your Bible is a sword? There you go. Thank you, Andrew. Blue screen, coming white screen. Sermon coming to a screen near you now. That's better. It means it's moving. There we are. Okay, there we are. Why am I? So something, just give me a second here, folks. I've got a minor problem that it's showing up too big. Is that better? Okay, so this is the key verse that our pastors felt really exemplified what we wanted to do as a church this year with all of our different campuses. And Jeremiah the prophet gives this word to people who are in the wrong city. They don't want to be there. They're all exiles. They're all slaves. And he basically says, no, you don't get it. Wherever you live, that's where God wants you to live. And wherever you live, you need to embrace everything that God has in that place for you. And so instead of acting like slaves and saying, God, take us back to Israel, settle down, he says in the previous verses, settle down, plant gardens, just like Jessica was talking about, get married, just like Jessica, no, she wasn't talking about that. I didn't say anything wrong, did I? Get married, have grandkids, all that kind of stuff is what he says. And then he goes on to say this, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it. And that's what your topic is next Sunday, is praying, how do we pray for our city? And here's the kicker. Here's what the Bible says, what the prophet says. If the city prospers, you too will prosper. That sounds good, doesn't it? If the city that we're living in, the city of Toronto, prospers, the GTA prospers, we too will prosper. And so this morning, real quick, want to talk about how do we do the first two things? How do we seek peace and prosperity in the city? Any of you remember the Canadian who won the Nobel Peace Prize? The Nobel Peace Prize. Nope. He won it. Back in the 60s, one of our prime ministers, Lester B. Pearson, the prime minister who was just before Trudeau, won the Nobel Peace Prize because of his work of sending Canadian troops to the Middle East to be the buffer between Israel and Egypt. And there was a battle, there was a war going on the Suez Canal. And this tiny little river that's maybe three times as wide as this room here was just lobbing missiles back and forth and skirmishes and raids and all that kind of stuff. And for the first time, Canada really began to have worldwide attention for how good Canadians are at keeping peace. When the Korean War took place in the 1950s, Canadians were sent in. That was probably the first time that Canada was sent in as peacekeepers. In the 60s, we did that. In the 70s, Canada was in Cyprus. And you guys are all too young, but there used to be a war on the island of Cyprus between the Greeks and the Turks. And even now, there are peacekeepers, Canadian peacekeepers on that island. In the 90s, Canada was in Bosnia and being peacekeepers. Now we're primarily in Afghanistan. Around the world, Canadians are known as peacekeepers. Did you know that? That's part of the heritage. We have what's called the best small army in the world as Canadians. Not a big thing, but our soldiers apparently are recognized around the world as the best trained, have the biggest scope of what they do, and we're known as peacekeepers. That's good, isn't it? And in the scriptures, there's a number of different things that talk about how do we bring peace into our city. And so the Bible says that one of the ways that we bring peace into our city is by us obeying laws. Not just our laws, but God's laws. And most of the laws of Canada are based on the laws of God. Did you know that? And so as we just obey law, the Bible says that peace comes into our city. Every time we pray, and we're going to spend all next Sunday, this is going to be your focus, but we're asked to pray for peace. And this particular verse says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. This is written to people who are living in that area. We are supposed to be peacemakers, and we are blessed. The Bible says that blessings come to people who seek to bring peace. I absolutely love the fact that as Canadians, that there's just something about when a person comes to Canada that you begin to take on the spirit of Canada. It's just like if you go to England or if you go to Australia or if you go to Ethiopia or you go wherever, you begin to take on the spirit of that nation. And so the good part of Canada having a destiny over us of being peacekeepers, that's a good thing. The negative of that, because there's always two sides to a coin, the negative side is that we compromise. We don't get in, let's everything to keep the peace. Let's not step in. Let's not rock the boat. Let's do everything politically correct. So that's the negative side of things, is that we don't put our necks out. Everyone just put your neck out a little bit. Did that hurt? That didn't really hurt, did it? But for some reason, we don't like to do that kind of stuff. We don't like to put our neck out. We like to be a little bit of a turtle and just play it safe. So that's the negative side. But God says, blessed are those who are peacemakers. I can remember one of the first groups that Sandra and I had at Catch the Fire was a Polish cell group. And we had this by accident. One of the Sundays I was preaching, four Polish people got saved. And so we take them off to the side, we're praying with them, and they're saying, well, this is our church now. It's like, okay, well, then you need to find a cell group. And we said, there's men's groups, there's ladies' groups, there's this, this, this. And they said, is there a Polish group? No, we have Spanish groups, Chinese groups, German groups, I think at that time, Jewish group. Well, can you start a Polish group? And it's like, okay, I'll look around. And every person I went to that was, I knew was Polish, I said, I've got four brand new Christians that want to be in a Polish cell group. Do you mind starting a Polish cell group? And they go, no, but if it goes, I'll come. And it's like, oh. So Sandra and I decided we'll start the Polish group. And, it was really good. We had about probably 12, 15 people in that group. And one of the gals that got saved that Sunday, her name was Eva, she would probably have been about 40. When we start, like, they knew nothing. Like, the first cell was open your Bible to the index. That was our first cell meeting, was to explain how the Bible works. Look at the Old Testament, New Testament. What does that mean? All that was our first cell group. They didn't know how to pray. They didn't know how to do anything. When it came to worship times, yes, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. You know that song? Oh, my goodness, the accents. It was not the same melody line with Jan, who was playing, who was our worship leader. It was like, oh, my goodness, are we singing that song? Like, it doesn't sound, it's the words, but it's not that song. But they loved it. And one day when we're saying, what can we pray for? Eva says, everybody in the office hates me. For some reason, people don't like me. Now, it may have been the fact that she used to be highly into the occult and just radiated junk that was slowly leaving her as now she's a follower of Jesus. But you could just see, you just walk by and it's like, have you ever had any of those kind of people? You walk by and it's like, oh, I don't know what that was, but that was a black cloud. Well, that's how she used to be before she got saved. Her and her husband spent thousands and thousands of dollars learning to be big and new age and witchcraft. They actually were learning how to be witches. And so I don't know what it was. And someone in the group, a gal named Frida that's still part of the airport church, she said, well, how about you go in and like a half an hour early before everyone else is there, and why don't you just pray over every chair? Put your hand in every chair and say, Father, be with this person. Father, be with this person. Be with this person. Within 1 week, the next week, she came to our cell and said, it's changed. The whole place has changed. Well, what was she doing? She was being a peacemaker. She was coming into there and speaking blessing on people and the circumstances. She was proactively being involved. Very, very good. Everyone's able to do that, not just Canadians. God's nature is peace. Let's talk about prosperity because it says seek peace and prosperity. So this one I'm really excited about. Again, one of the things that it talks about is prosperity comes to a city when people obey God's laws. A couple years ago, actually it's probably about 5 years ago now, I went with one of our cell leaders. His name is Brian Girdwood, and he's now in his 70s, so he would have been probably about 68 at that time, a retired accountant for General Motors. And Brian and I are taking some money to an orphanage. One of the gals in our church had gone and started an orphanage in one of the refugee camps outside of Sudan, or sorry, in Sudan, outside of Khartoum, the capital city. Terrible place. Police and army are just not there, and it's who's ever the strongest guy, who's ever the biggest bully is the leader. It's just terrible abuse taking place. And the U.S. government has an embargo on the nation of Sudan because of the stuff that's going on there. And so we were not able to formally send money into that nation. We had to send it to Kenya, or we had to send it to Ethiopia or some other place. And so she'd have to cross the border, go into another country, get the money, and just have all sorts of challenges coming in and out because she's an American citizen. And so we're there, and guess what is absent? Look at the notes. Keeping laws. Everyone is a law to themselves. And because of that, the nation is just in turmoil. Like last week, George Clooney, do you follow George Clooney? Do you know about this man? Actor, good looking boy, I think. He was in the south of Sudan because there was a referendum all this week in Sudan where the South is trying to start its own country because it's predominantly Christians in the South, and they don't like the abuse that's happening. They don't like the lawlessness that's happening. And the nation is being led by terrorists, basically. The stuff that's going on in Darfur, that's it, is really, it's government-sponsored terrorists that are taking place. When we were there, we were right beside the Nile River. The Nile River is the most fertile land in all of Africa. And it's estimated that between Sudan and Ethiopia, if they just spend a little bit more money cultivating, they could feed all of Africa, those two nations. But here's what happens. Extremists go down the Nile every year from the top to the bottom, and if you're not an extremist Muslim, they burn your crops. And it's just like their absence of law. And because of absence of law, there's no peace. There's no blessing. It's just a terrible place. The spirit over that nation when we were there was death, was anger. And within like 2 or 3 days, Brian and I are trying to figure out, why are we so tense? Why are we angry? Why are we yelling at the kids in the orphanage? And it's like the spirit has come on us. And it wasn't until we realized we're losing our temper over and over and over again. It was not a pretty place to be in and just feel this stuff. And when there's absence of laws, there's no prosperity. And as followers of Jesus, when we begin to obey God's laws, prosperity comes just by you stopping at a stop sign in your vehicle. Did you know that? We were just in Mexico. Stop signs seem to be options. Nobody was stopping at the stop signs, and it's like red lights. It was like nobody stopped. Like they only stopped if there was a police officer there stopping you. Otherwise, it's just like, we just got through that intersection. Anyways, it was interesting. Did you know that making money is blessed by God? God wants people to prosper financially. And here's a very interesting verse from the psalmist that says, for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity. God is into wanting to bless people because he knows that blessed people are generous. Did you know that? Do you know that some of the most financially successful corporations in our world are tithers? How many of you ever go to Tim Hortons? Anyone not go to Tim Hortons? A couple people. Did you know that Tim Hortons tithes, that corporation, 10% of their profits go to their kids' camps for handicapped special needs kids? 10%. They're giving. And one of the reasons why they're blessed is because they're following the principles of God's word, which says to give a tithe. Now, they don't give it to God, but in a sense, they sort of are because they're caring for God's people, aren't they? And when those kind of things begin to happen, when people follow the principles of God's word, prosperity comes. And so when Jessica's talking about all the different things, Jessica's a giver. And because she's a giver, God's looking after her. It doesn't make sense, and yet God does make sense out of it. Those kind of things happen over and over again. God's heart is for prosperous cities. Here's what the prophet Zechariah says. Proclaim this. This is what the Lord Almighty says. My towns will again overflow with prosperity, and the Lord will again bring comfort to Zion, which is Jerusalem, and he will choose Jerusalem. So how do we get these things? Humility and character seem to be the things. The meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. So this Lared stuff that we're doing as a church, can I just explain how this fits into the big picture? The crisis in corporate America and corporate Canada is integrity. Nobody trusts the big corporations. At our airport campus, we have a gentleman by the name of Garth Jessley. Garth is on Bay Street. He is the president, CEO of a $6 billion corporation that he has one-third of the stock. Garth is known on Bay Street as a guy of integrity. He gets invited to seminars and all that kind of stuff. He has a guy on his staff that is just there to make sure that everyone's following the rules. That's not Garth. That's my alarm to say, wrap up. It was supposed to be in my pocket and vibrating. Wasn't vibrating, was it? And it wasn't in my pocket. So Garth is just really known for integrity. And the challenge of Garth was saying is that nobody wants to be on the board of directors for these big corporations anymore. And he said, for their board of directors, everyone who sits at their board has two lawyers behind them. And before they give an opinion, they turn around and everyone is forced now by law in North America, corporations, for every accountant who gives the final accounting report, they have to sign their name. And if they sign their name, they are now criminally responsible. If there's any stuff down the line, they go to jail. They pay the fine. And so nobody wants to sign because their neck's on the line. And so what they do is they go to their guys down and say, you guys have to sign this, say that you're giving me the right information. Well, they don't want to sign because they don't trust the guys below them that are giving them the numbers. And the challenge is lack of integrity and lack of character in corporate America, in corporate Canada. And these LaRed guys that have been training us and helping us, this is exactly what they do. So we just had them two weekends ago at the airport campus for another training time. And here's one of the presenters last week was a gal named Dawn, and her dad is, his name is Jerry Anderson. He owns a whole bunch of different corporations. So this gal for the state of Ohio is Miss Rogers, cable TV, or Shaw, that kind of stuff. So for the state of Ohio, their company is the biggest provider of digital TV. And they also have Texas, they have Pennsylvania, they have Florida, all that kind of stuff. So she's managing a $1 billion corporation. She's probably about 40 years of age, a mother of three, and is the worship leader in her church. And she's running this corporation. And she is talking about character and how successful her business is. In 2 weekends from now, we're going to be taking about 20 of our cell leaders down to this church that these people are all based at in Ohio, in the middle of the Amish community. And we're going to be doing one of our encounters for them. And so it's a really good little partnership we're getting with these people. The hotel we're going to be staying at is owned by this guy named Jerry Anderson, Don's father. While we were there in July, some of us were there for a training time, he said, he was a little bit late, and he said, I just came in from our marketing meeting. All the hotel owners in this little town called Berlin, Ohio, which is the heart of Ohio Amish. There's more Amish in this town than anywhere else in America. And all of the hotels, bed and breakfasts, all have a joint marketing plan. Instead of 15 different websites, there's one website that you can see all the different hotels and all that kind of stuff. And he just said, I just came from a marketing meeting, and we're looking at each other's numbers, and their numbers are published, so every hotel knows what the other guy's business is. That's the way it is in Toronto as well. All the hotels know who's making the money, who's losing money, all that kind of stuff. So he said that at that meeting, everyone had made the average was a 1% profit for all of the hotels. His average on that previous month was 35%. He had a 35% profit in 1 month. All the other hotels, like 20 of them, 1% profit average. And they're saying to him, how come you're always ahead of us? And his thing was character and integrity. And his staff all go through a huge training on character and integrity. Guess what their reference is? The Bible. Do they know that it's the Bible? No. And so they've written a 40-part course, taking principles from the Bible without using the word Bible once, without using Jesus once, without having any God stuff in there, but it's full of God. It's full of the word of God. It's full of the truth of the word of God. And as people are beginning to live these principles, change is taking place and prosperity is coming. And so we're training. I have been praying to God that between now and Easter, 300 LaRed groups, these round tables, will be starting in corporations in our city. We have one guy in our church at the airport campus, George Imponson is his name. He's from Ghana. God gave him an idea about 5 years ago of starting a oil corporation. He owns his own oil company. He started it from scratch. He has a refinery in Ghana, and they just started pumping oil, low-grade diesel fuel, and he's got contracts. I think it's either Norway or Denmark that he's got all this stuff sold. He already has 700 employees in Ghana. He already has 100 cell groups, small groups, for his employees going through these 40 courses. They do not know that they're being groomed in the Word of God, but they're bringing integrity and character into the workplace. That's one of the reasons why we've been sponsoring this group and encouraging people in our cell groups to go through some of the material to learn how to talk Christian words to a non-Christian society. Because that's one of our challenges, is how do we take the Word of God, which is life, which brings peace, which brings prosperity, how do we take that into our world? Because as soon as you say Jesus, everyone stops, backs up, and the walls go up. You can't say Jesus in your workplace. But you can talk about restraint, learning to hold your words. You can talk about dependability. This group, LaRed, were in Colombia about 5 years ago. They went to the nation of Colombia. And through God, they were asked to come in and train 11,000 government employees. When they got there, they found out that it was jail guards. They go, "We don't do jail stuff." And it was like, well, the most corrupt area of Colombia's culture was the jail guards. Each jail averaged 400 murders a year. 375 of them were people murdered by the guards. And in some jails, the prisoners were issued weapons every night to protect themselves to the guards. In 1 year, going through these 40 principles, without them knowing that it's the Bible, without them knowing that it's Jesus, without them knowing that it's God on the outside, the murders went down to 15 per jail. 15. And as people began to ask questions and began to see it, they would go to the facilitator and say, like, can I talk to you about this? Can I talk to you about this? And they had like half the jail of the inmates, because all the inmates then started going through. Then the government, the president of Colombia, he's now not the president because you have a five-year term maximum. So the former guy said, okay, the next most corrupt area of our nation is our armed forces. We cannot win the battle on drugs because everyone's being paid off by Pablo Escobar and all those kind of guys. And we're taking everyone. So they now trained 400,000 people in the armed forces in Colombia. This is 4 years ago. Do you know that last year, 2010, Colombia was voted as the number one tourist attraction in South America? You didn't know that. Did you know that all the major drug dealers are all dead or in jail? Did you know that I told this to our church like 3 weeks ago, and one of the business guys in our church came to me and he said, "Did you know that the biggest investment of dollars now going into South America is to the nation of Colombia, and it's becoming the most prosperous country, and if you're looking for a quick return?" And he said, here's one of the things. All of a sudden, and it's through LaRed, people are showing up. They've learned the principle of dependability. If they're supposed to start work at 8 a.m., they're showing up at 8 a.m., not Spanish time, which is 9, 9:30. Because they're all still leaving when they're supposed to leave, but they don't show up on time. Well, what happens if a company, what happens if a corporation now gets one extra hour of work out of their employees for what they're paying them to do? Is that going to benefit? Absolutely. And so they have turned this nation around. The nation of Mexico is in turmoil right now with the drug stuff. Do you know why it's in turmoil? All of the army is going through LaRed, and the corruption has stopped, and they're starting to put the squeeze on the drug guys. The president of Mexico is a God-fearing Roman Catholic man. And he has passed a law that everybody on welfare in Mexico, before they get their check, has to go to one of these small groups. Because he knows that if they can learn principles like hard work, dependability, restraint, savings, all these Bible stuff, it'll turn their lives around. Isn't that cool? So that's what we're about this year, is how do we bring peace and prosperity? Do you know that verse says nothing about evangelism? That verse says nothing about you have to shout about Jesus on every corner. You don't have to do that. As we are salt and light, that's what we do. Did you know that? As we're salt and light, God comes into our city. I love this kind of stuff. I was just going to tell you a story of one other person. Jesus, please bring it back. Jesus. Okay, Jesus wants me to stop. Real quick. If peace and prosperity come by obeying God's laws, I think we need to know God's word. Would you agree? Can I encourage you to try to read the Bible this year? So that's 4 chapters a day. Now you're 3 weeks behind, so 5 chapters for a couple months. That's not a lot. Learn to read the word of God. And if peace and prosperity come by taking on the character and the heart of God, we need to grow in godliness. So can I encourage you, work on your character. And if you're not aware of the principle of business, of increase, the Lared guys figured it out faster than most other people have. So let's say you are Walmart. And there's 3 things that run business in North America. Price, quality, and customer service. Those 3 things. And so let's say you're Walmart. How do they do better? What do they do? Price. That's their big one, isn't it? Are they great on customer service? No. Are they great on quality? No. And so what does Walmart do to get more shoppers? Lower their price. So they play to their strength. Corporate America has been taught play to your strength. And so let's say that Walmart is a 5 on quality, a 5 on customer service, and an 8 on price. 25 times 8, 400? 200. Here's what the Japanese have figured out. Raise your lowest one, not your highest one. Work on your lowest one. So let's say that Walmart keeps their prices where they are and all of a sudden becomes better on their customer service. And they go 6 times 5, 30 times 8, 240. They have just raised from 200 to 240. If Walmart raises their price from an 8 to a 9, they go 5 times 5 times 9 is 225. He's got his calculator out. 225 and 240, the same amount of attention spent by raising a low quality changes the bottom line much quicker than raising your best quality. And this is a principle of God's word. Just as what Sarah was talking about, as we let the Holy Spirit deal with a hard issue in our life, like worry, like stress, like unbelief, like dependability, like, you know, whatever those things, as we raise our bottom ones up just a little bit, everybody that's around you is going to go, what happened to you? What happened to you? You're acting different. Well, yeah, I'm not living in fear anymore. Oh, all of a sudden they want to be around you because you've raised your bar on the lowest. Does that make sense? That's our job. Raise our character to become more like the character of Jesus. And people are going to go, what happened to you? You're different. And they're going to think it's your clothes. They're going to think it's, you know, something external. No, it's all about your heart. That'd be good? Alrighty, time to finish. That's not the right one. I don't have it here. Don't have it here. So here's what we're going to do. Stand up. And I would like you to get in a group of 3 or 4 people. Can you do that? And if you are married, couple married couples here, you need to get in a different group than your spouse. I'm sorry, Andrew and Sarah. Sorry. It's just short, just very short, just very short. So get in a quick little group, match up 3 or 4 people right where you are. And it's not going to be hard. Here's what I'd like you to do. I would like you to talk to the person and find out in your group, do they have a job, or are they at school, or are they stay home person, or are they unemployed and loitering? No, that's not true. Find out what people spend the bulk of their day doing, at work, at school, at home. Would that be all right? And whatever it is, pray for two things for them. Just take like 30 seconds for each person in your group. Pray for them to become salt and light, the character of God to be coming onto them. And pray that they will stick their neck out just a little bit more to be a peacekeeper, a peacemaker. Would that be all right? The challenge of Canadians is to stick our neck out. We're not very good at sticking our neck out. But as we do that, God shows up. All right. 2 minutes for this exercise. Go. What do you do during the day? And then pray for each other. Okay, now that you know what everyone's doing, start with one of your friends, put your hand on their shoulder, grab their hand, put your hand on their heart, something like that, and speak peace. Bless them to be a peacemaker and stick their neck out just a little bit more. And number two, bless them to be salt and light in their place of work, in their school, that kind of stuff. Carry the presence of Jesus where they go. Give you one more minute for your group. If you're not sure what to do, you don't have to do anything. Just put your hand on their shoulder and say, God, be with them. God, help them. Because God knows exactly what to do. God's the one who told the prophet to say these things, which means that God knows that these things work. So just wrap up now. Okay, everyone stand. I got one more prayer. Let's just close our eyes. We're going to invite the Holy Spirit, because none of these things happen without God coming and filling us. And just left to ourselves, we can't change anything. But when God comes, and God's a part of our DNA and just sort of flows out of our words, flows out of our actions and our attitude, good things begin to happen. So Holy Spirit, would you come? And would you fill us again with your Holy Spirit? Now just take a few seconds and just see if you can feel God coming into you. Holy Spirit, come. For some of you may feel just peaceful. Some of you may feel a little tingling on your hands or cold or hot sensation. So you may just have a knowledge that God's with me. Father, our theme that worship team picked up on right away was that we don't have to fear because you're with us. So, Daddy, would you be with us this week? Father, when opportunities come for us to step in between two people that are having an argument, when there's tension, for us just to be able to come and say a calm word in our place of work, in our school, we're asking that you would give us that grace, Father, to just stick our necks out just a little bit and bring peace into our city. Give each of us an opportunity to practically do that this week. And Father, help us to bring prosperity to our city as well. By living the character of Jesus, by speaking the character of Jesus, by obeying the laws, God's laws and the laws of our land. Father, help us not to be cutting corners, thinking of cheating on our taxes or any of those kind of things. Help us not to be stealing from our employers and, you know, even taking pens and that kind of stuff. Father, help us to be men and women who live by character, live by integrity. And as we do that, simple little things, we bring prosperity into our city. And Daddy, you said that if our city prospers, we prosper. So Father, would you help us in that, please? We welcome your plan to take place in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good. Andrew, Sarah, are either of you giving a conclusion? So what do people do now? Get up and run? Lunch. Okay. So everyone's at your house? No? All right. Well, God bless you all. And if you're a newcomer here today, make sure you see Andrew and Sarah. They're the pastors of this campus. And if you're not new, then thank you for coming again. Andrew, did you tell people about your outreach coming up in March?
Not yet.
So I don't say anything?
No.
Okay. God bless y'all.